You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Thursday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM, getting ready to set sail from our studios here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Great to have you aboard today as we join you here. Scott Udash from our studios, Isaac on the other side of the glass, head bobbing over there, looking good. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side here today joining us. Got a good show for you. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us, and we'll talk college hoops. It'll be our Off the Glass segment with Kevin, and we'll do that coming up here in about 20, 25 minutes or so, and discuss college basketball. Iowa-Michigan State coming up tonight from the Breslin Center in East Lansing. It's a just past 6 o'clock tip-off tonight. FS1 will be the televised home for that particular ball game. If you tuned in to hear Lisa Bluter, Iowa women's basketball coach, we had to reschedule that. She is going to join us next Tuesday now. It'll be next Tuesday that we will talk with Lisa, and that was mainly my fault today. I got times mixed up, and that happens, although it's the first time that has happened that I can remember in a long time, but hey, I guess I'm getting old. Anyway, 319-366-1600, that is the text line available to you. That is the phone line as well. Again, that is 319-366-1600. As we come your way on 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well, as Mark joins me from a bright, sunny back porch on the southwest side, although not warm. Speaking of not warm, first of all, good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone, and appreciate you remembering to call me at 3.
I deserve that.
Getting, of course.
I've had a bad 24 hours, man. We'll get to that later on, before 4 o'clock today, here as well. I was talking with Isaac before we got started, and this is a building that has been added upon several times. We are on the oldest section of the building, and we get climate extremes here on this side of the building. There's a reason why Isaac has his toucan today and his hooded sweatshirt. I think there's meat hanging on the other side of the glass, and it's very chilly in the studio. So you are missing that today, Mark. I hope it's warmer in your neck of the woods than it is in here today.
Yeah, if you want me to bring the space heater in tomorrow, I will.
I'll just put it in the car just in case. Put it in there just in case. We're going to talk Iowa-Michigan State with you coming up here in just a moment. All kinds of basketball from last night, college basketball in the Big Ten, et cetera, et cetera. We're getting closer and closer to Championship Sunday as far as the National Football League is concerned. But speaking of the National Football League, Mark, and I was going to mention this today, and Spencer also mentioned it as well. I don't know. I have a feeling what you were doing, Mark, 37 years ago, this very moment and this very day. The game hadn't started, I don't believe, yet. But 37 years ago, your Chicago Bears were world champions as they dismantled the New England Patriots 46-10. I believe that game played at the Superdome in New Orleans, if I recall, correct?
Yeah, and Walter Payton still hasn't scored.
That, I was going to say that it still irks me. It irks you, obviously. It irks Bear fans. It irks National Football League fans. Biggest disappointment, I think, in Super Bowl history, that Walter Payton did not score and William Perry did in that game.
Yeah, Fridge got in the end zone, and it was really a fun day. And I watched the game from the home of one of my best friends, and we decided to do shots for every point the Bears scored. Was that ever a mistake?
How did that go, Mark?
The game went well. The rest of it didn't.
Hey, my guess is that you were not the only Bears fan that may have over-celebrated 37 years ago today.
We learn, right?
You live and learn. You thought you had another one coming, but that's the way sports is, I guess. It's the world's greatest reality show. I don't think there's any doubt about that. If you have remembrances, love to reminisce with you today. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. As Bears fans, yes, this is your day to celebrate. This is your day to crow. Although, as Spencer also mentioned, the Packers also won a Super Bowl today. So you can't crow a whole lot over the Packers fans, Mark.
No, and frankly, I didn't even realize it. But that was a really fun day, really fun era, because my twins won a couple World Series during that time, and 87, 91, and it was a fun time. And college sports in the state were going great guns. 80s were fun.
They were, and I was a lot younger, and I remembered things better. 310 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. I will remember this, though, and that is the fact that we have your next opportunity to play in the Big Game House Party from Circus Sports Iowa. We're going to get a listener, a contestant, and give them an opportunity to get their pick in and have them hopefully, like we did yesterday. We were numero uno, Mark. In fact, we got the only contestant that has qualified for the drawing. John B. yesterday, if you recall, took you and I through the 7.5, and Panthers won big over Valpo at the McLeod Center last night. We'll talk about that with Kevin Lehman coming up in just a little bit. But, hey, we got a guy that's qualified now for the Big Game House Party. That, of course, from Circus Sports Iowa. And if you get qualified, you can go into the master drawing, which the winner will get. And by the way, you must be 21 years of age or older to win. You get $500 worth of food and beverages from Hy-Vee, Circus Sports swag for you and your guests at that particular party, and a 3-night stay at Circa Resort in Vegas, and $500 cash for travel. As you and I won by 11. They led that thing by a lot more than that, but they ended up winning by 11 for our friend John yesterday.
Congratulations to John. What do you say? Let's get 3 more qualifiers today. How about it?
And get them wins. We'll not do that right now. Don't call yet. We'll do that in just a little bit before 4 o'clock here this afternoon. We are presented by DePaco Community Credit Union here in the Gym Class each and every day. Big thanks to DePaco. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website at DePaco.com. College basketball tonight. It will be Iowa at Michigan State as the Hawkeyes come in at 12-7 on the year. Iowa 4-4, even up in the Big Ten. Michigan State is 13-7 overall. Sparty is 5-4, and they will hit the halfway mark as far as their Big Ten season is concerned coming up tonight. And Michigan State has been kind of a thorn in the side of this Iowa basketball team, at least in East Lansing. Anyway, in Iowa City, Iowa's had pretty much the upper hand as far as the games against Michigan State is concerned. In fact, Iowa has won the last 3. A lot of those in Iowa City, though. I think all of them may have been in Iowa City, as a matter of fact, just a quirk of the schedule, if you will. But it's going to take a big effort tonight for Iowa to take down Michigan State up at the Breslin Center.
Yeah, Iowa won those last 3 games handily, but prior to that, Iowa was 3-19 against Michigan State. I'm not sure how much the past is prologue, especially tonight. Michigan State is not a great team, and neither is Iowa. They're both very good teams on any given night, can play very well, both coming off lopsided losses. Very interested to talk to Kevin Lehman and have him break down this game. You need to corral Joey Hauser. What do you need to do?
Hauser definitely, I think, is the one name that people know. He is not the leading scorer. That is Tyson Walker for Michigan State. It's a Michigan State team that just does not have, and it's weird to say, it's a Tom Izzo team that just does not have, I'd say, a superstar, but I'm not even sure has a first-team All-Big Ten performer this year, to be honest with you. I mean, Hauser, yeah, averaging, what, around 8 rebounds a game. You know, 12 points. He's had his moments, certainly, as far as the Spartans are concerned. Michigan State is not really scoring a whole bunch, less than 70 points a game. And the one stat that is startling for Michigan State is that right now, you know, they're usually, what, top 20 as far as rebounding in not only the Big Ten, but also in the country is concerned. And this is a Michigan State team right now that is 80th in the country as far as rebounding is concerned. So not really getting it done as far as the paint is concerned, and they really don't have a big-time outside shooter. Now, saying that, they'll probably have three guys that will go for about 20 tonight.
Well, A.J. Hogger can do some things at the guard position, this is not a team that has a Cassius Winston or name a star from the past of Michigan State. Doesn't mean it's not a good team. It's a formidable foe, and that's going to be a tough crowd for Iowa.
I really thought Sissoko was going to step up the way he started the year, the big power forward for Michigan State, but he's kind of leveled off as of late. You know, not bad, 7 rebounds a game, but he's only averaging about 5 or 6 points a game right in there, and I really thought he was going to be the guy to step up and help the Spartans this year. You mentioned they got destroyed at Indiana last Sunday. Michigan State's their last 2 home games, they have split, lost to Purdue by a point. Beat Rutgers, though, at the Breslin Center, 70-57. And Michigan State has lost a couple. Up at East Lansing. So, I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion. This is not your Michigan State of 5 to 10 years ago that, you know, every team that's on the road is going to go up to the Breslin Center and they're going to succumb to the Iz zone and et cetera up there. But you take a look at history and Iowa just has not had great games with a few exceptions up at East Lansing.
Very true. What happens tonight in East Lansing? That's our poll question today, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Highway 1 West is where Steve Anderson and his team sets up shop. 3 choices. Michigan State wins by 3 or more. Michigan wins by fewer than 3. Or Iowa wins.
Right now, I think Tom Izzo and Fran McCaffrey would take a win by a quarter of a point. They don't care at this time. Am I right about that?
Yep.
I think they would just like to get a victory. Of course, Iowa then comes home. They will take on Rutgers once again. That's a turnaround game. That will be the halfway point of the Big Ten season for Iowa anyway. It's a 20-game Big Ten season. Keep that in mind. And that will be Sunday. That is a 1 o'clock start. And that will be in Iowa City at Carver Hawkeye Arena. So, I mean, if Iowa can't, they're all key games. All key games as far as the Big Ten is concerned. Purdue right now with a 2-game lead over the stampede that is everyone between 3 losses and 5 losses, which includes everybody in the league with the exception of Ohio State, Nebraska, and Minnesota. That's how close it is as far as Big Ten basketball is concerned right now. But we'll see. It's going to take a pretty good effort, no word yet on, at least that I have seen anything, as far as if Patrick McCaffrey is planning to be back tonight. He has been practicing. As Patrick said about a month ago, he is going to take his time, and he will determine when he is going to be able to be out on the basketball court. If that is tonight, great. If that is not tonight, then it will be down the line. I think that would certainly be a help, and we'll see if the Hawkeyes can take care of the basketball better, play defense better, as far as that game against the Spartans tonight. Last night in the Big Ten, Northwestern's fine now, Mark.
Seems to be.
78-63 on the road. They pounded Nebraska in Lincoln. As Northwestern, 14-5. Oh, maybe it's something to do with kiddies wearing purple this year that, you know, are doing well as far as NCAA basketball that we're not suspecting those teams to do well. Maryland really thumped Wisconsin last night. That was 73-55 as the Terps get the victory. And then Indiana without Mike Woodson last night goes to Minneapolis and gets a road win. Wasn't easy, but the Hoosiers win again. I believe that's four in a row now for Indiana as they beat Minnesota, who's really reeling right now. Gophers, I believe, only had seven scholarship players in that game last night. Indiana beat Minnesota 61-57. So that's that was Big Ten basketball. Besides Iowa-Michigan State, it's a doubleheader in FS1 tonight. Pretty good nightcap. Number one, Purdue at Michigan tonight. Does Purdue go down, Mark?
Well, I don't know. Michigan's going to have to put together a heck of a game. It's possible, but I don't expect it.
I just have a feeling. I just have a feeling that Michigan might get Purdue tonight.
Michigan's 8-2 at home, plays well there.
Hunter Dickinson.
Purdue 6-0 on the road, Scott.
True, which means two things. Number one, they played very well. And number two, are the odds going to catch up to them at some point?
Right.
And if there is a guy besides Trace Jackson Davis that can neutralize Zach Edey, I got to think it's Hunter Dickinson because he's going to get physical with Edey. No doubt about that. And I think Michigan's guards can give Purdue's guards a little bit of trouble, those young Boilermaker guards. We'll see how Jet Howard plays tonight as far as the Wolverines are concerned. It will be a raucous crowd. The Maze Rage will be in full voice tonight, and I think that's going to be a fun game. Looking forward to seeing that one coming up tonight. That is after the Hawks and Michigan State. It'll be Purdue and Michigan coming up this evening in Big Ten basketball. We're going to talk more basketball with the coach, Kevin Lehman, coming up in just a little bit. We'll have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you as well coming up here in just a little bit. Don't want to forget about that. And as I mentioned, getting closer and closer as far as the conference championship games are concerned in the National Football League. But 3:23 here on the Gym Class for a Thursday here on KGYM. And I want to throw it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are across from Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. We will have the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, by the way, coming up tomorrow, the penultimate edition of the Pick 6. And we're going to pick conference championship games, and you've got a wide array of little prop things that we're going to choose, Mark, don't you?
We do. We have to get up to six games and or six picks, and I chose to go that direction. So stay tuned tomorrow for that. As far as the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard, Iowa State has hired a wide receivers coach. His name is Noah Pauley. He comes from North Dakota State, where he helped develop the Packers' Christian Watson, a high draft pick last year, I think a high second-round pick. Speaking of the NFL, Carolina has found its new head coach from the recycle bin. Frank Reich is the new Panthers' head coach. Of course, he was let go in his previous job in Indianapolis. The WWE, also known as World Wrestling Entertainment, has signed two Penn State athletes to NIL contracts. They are offensive lineman, football offensive lineman Nick Dawkins, the son of former NBA great Daryl, and wrestling heavyweight Greg Kirkfleet, who will oppose Tony Cassiope tomorrow night and that duel out at Penn State. And finally, Scott, in the department of, you probably have too much money if you didn't notice, an audit revealed LSU overpaid head football coach Brian Kelly over $1 million last summer in the months of May and June, double paid him. And an audit revealed that somebody made a mistake. Now, Kelly has his checks deposited into an LLC, but nevertheless, LSU double paid him for 2 months. 2 months, $1 million. Who's going to notice, huh?
That's worse than mine today. That was worse than mine. As far as Frank Reich is concerned, boy, oh boy, and the fallout is already starting. And this is, I don't think this is going to be a real welcome hire as far as the National Football League is concerned. I think Frank Reich is a very decent, adequate coach. I don't think that's the problem. Sound as though that Carolina's players wanted their interim coach, Steve Wilks. And already Wilks, who was a part of the lawsuit that is up as far as the National Football League and the African-American coaches are concerned, he's a part of that. And this thing's going to get even stickier and stickier the way it sounds. And I really thought Carolina was going to wait until after the Super Bowl and after all the playoffs and everything is done to start their hiring process, but they did not, and they went in that direction. And Wilks did a tremendous job after Matt Rhule was fired. 6-6 record for Carolina, almost got them in the playoffs, albeit in the NFC South. But this is a very very tumultuous hire, to say the least, as far as the National Football League is concerned.
Well, it is, and the NFL is, we've seen it every year, it's a recycle bin. Nathaniel Hackett, fired in Denver, resurfaces as the offensive coordinator of the New York Jets today.
Yep.
Starting rumors that maybe Aaron Rodgers might want to rejoin Hackett.
Don't worry, we'll only hear about that the next 2.5 months.
Exactly. Either that or Brady, but you know what I mean? These guys just get recycled.
Very true. Very true. Well, Hackett crashed and burned as far as the head coaching gig at Denver was concerned. I did not mind at all. Now they're talking to Sean Payton, who, of course, left after a very successful tenure with the New Orleans Saints. And he is going to – Sean Payton's going to be coaching somewhere. He's not going to be on the Fox pregame show next year. Let's just say that. All right, 3:28. We're going to take a break, come back, and we are going to talk college hoops. The coach, Kevin Lehman, set to join us as we are at the halfway mark as far as the college basketball seasons are concerned, as far as conferences make that. And we'll talk about that and other things with the coach, Kevin Lehman, right after a look at the weather and these messages here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
From the CBS 2 Iowa's News Now with the first forecast center and meteorologist Nick Stewart. Mainly clear skies early tonight, but then snow developing after 3 a.m. Temperatures dropping near 10 degrees, but then rising after midnight. For your Friday, snow showers will be likely for the early morning commute. Up to an inch of snow will be possible, but enough for roads to become rather slick. Mid-30s for highs in the early afternoon with northwest wind cranking near 30 miles per hour. Friday night, partly cloudy, mid-teens for lows. On Saturday, snow will be likely heavy at times. 4 to 6 inches of snow will be likely. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now with the first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier boys basketball team fell on Tuesday night to Mount Vernon 66-65 on a Mustang buzzer beater and fell to 10-4 on the season. The Class 3A number 2 rated Saints will try to bounce back this Friday on the road at Iowa City Liberty. The Xavier girls basketball team enjoyed a night off on Tuesday, and the Class 4A number 3 rated Saints will also be at Iowa City Liberty on Friday night for the opening game of the girl-boy doubleheader starting at 6 p.m. And the Xavier boys wrestling team will take part in the Mississippi Valley Conference Wrestling Tournament this Saturday at Waterloo West. Action begins at 10 a.m.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Ray Magliazzi here for eBay Motors. You're driving along and some Nimrod cuts you off. You hit the horn. Jeez, it sounds like a goose in distress. Time to head over to eBay Motors. They have horns for every make and model, not to mention horn pads, steering wheels, wiring, and more. 122 million parts. You can even go for an upgrade. That looks like Mr. Cutoff Man needs a new seat cover. Try eBay Motors, pal. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors. Let's ride.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool. Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
3:32, back with you on the Gym Class KGYM on this Thursday edition of the show. We'll have the Pick 6 coming up tomorrow. We'll talk about Iowa, Michigan State, and the fallout from that tomorrow on the program, plus a look ahead at the conference championship games as far as the National Football League is concerned. We'll have both of those games for you coming up on Sunday, I believe 1 o'clock, with the hour-long pregame show for the NFC championship game. It will be San Francisco at Philadelphia, followed by the AFC championship game, Kansas City hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. A lot of basketball to talk about prior to the football kicking off, and we do that on Thursdays. And by the way, if you have a question, always we'll field that. If you have a question for our guest, Kevin Lehman, the coach, with our Off the Glass segment, go ahead and text it to us at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Text line always available to you. That is the phone line as well, 319-366-1600, as Kevin joins us here on a Thursday edition of the program as we get toward the hard-to-believe halfway mark, Kevin, of the conference's seasons. Man, this thing's moving fast, isn't it?
It does. You know, it's going to be selection Sunday. Before we know it, we'll be right into March Madness. Because, you know, February is a short month, and it goes fast. And you kind of enter the dog days right now, guys, so late January, early February. Your players can't quite see the end of a long season. So this is a time where you don't want to get in a rut, and you need to get, string together some good play and some good wins.
Kevin, Iowa at Michigan State, a little more than 2 hours away. How do you assess this game?
I tell you, Mark, when you look at these stats, this is not a Michigan State team that scares you. I mean, they've lost three of their last four, but their opponents are shooting more free throws than they are. They're turned over. They're not shooting a lot of threes. They are guarding the three-point line really well. But here's the scary part, Scott and Mark, as you know, it's kind of like the caged animal. They have lost three of four, so, you know, this is going to be a highly motivated Tom Izzo team when the Hawkeyes walk in there. But I think if the Hawks don't do what they did at Ohio State, which was turn the ball over early, to get back to what they've done as far as low turnovers, get some quality shots, this is a very, very winnable game and a much-needed game for the Hawkeyes to win.
We talked earlier that this is a Michigan State team kind of minus a superstar, and you just don't see that very often for a Tom Izzo coached team. I thought Sissoko was really going to step up this year. Been okay, but not over the top great. Certainly 8 rebounds, about 6 points a game. Joey Hauser's been there, it seems like, 8 years. but is there, like you said, just nobody that's going to, that you know you have to stop going in to East Lansing or to a Michigan State game tonight for this Tom Izzo team?
Well, Hauser's shooting like 31% from 3. So, yeah, he doesn't put the fear of God in you. I think the key to this team, Michigan State, is the point guard, A.J. Hoggard, because he's second in the Big Ten assist. So if you can get him slowed down and really try to jam up his game, I think it's going to really affect what they do offensively. But a typical Michigan State team where they're really good on the glass, and can Iowa get out and run in this game and get some fast break points, get some great spacing in the offensive end? You know, is Patrick McCaffrey coming back? We're not sure. I think he'd be better off if he made his return at Carver-Hawkeye when he does. But, that's up to Patrick and his parents and the medical staff. So we'll see what happens on that situation. I tell you what, Murray's still playing well. They found a guy that can give him some point guard help in Josh Dix. I think that's been amazing, the confidence he's playing with. And even getting some minutes out of Riley Mulvey, just a few spot minutes. And he's done better than I think we thought he would do.
Kevin, an obvious statement. Iowa cannot give up 50 points in the paint like it did against Ohio State. I don't know how that happened, but that led to Iowa's demise.
Well, Bryce Sensabaugh was knocking down from outside. And their ability to guard, we call, you got to be able to own your own matchup. A little bit guard dribble penetration and keep people out of the paint has been, that's a key for Iowa, whether it's in the zone or in the man-to-man. They just didn't do that against Ohio State. And Ohio State, big physical guards. I mean, they kind of look like a rec league team. They were big, strong guys, like a couple, like a little belly on them. They just powered their way past the Hawks and got in the paint and made plays in the paint. But you're right, 50 paint points, that cannot happen. And some of that was because Iowa turned over, so some of those paint points are transition baskets where they're getting layups and easy shots. And it was like an Ohio State team that, Iowa just kind of, they just didn't have their mojo going that game when you watched that game. They just didn't seem like the Iowa team we had seen the past few games.
Well, I ask you this, and you mentioned the fact that not only that, but a kind of a caged animal. That was Ohio State last Saturday. I mean, they had not played well for the last 5 games prior to that, didn't shoot well. You just knew, much like Peyton Sanford talking about his shooting streak and slump earlier in the year, you're going to come out of it. And unfortunately, Iowa, I think, was in the way when Ohio State did come out of it last weekend.
Well, the other thing you're going to run into a fan base at Michigan State that really wants this team to win. So it's going to be a loud and crazy atmosphere in the end zone. You can kind of feel that coming too, because they're as hungry as their players are and as Tom Izzo is to get a win. So you kind of walk into a little bit of a, a beehive there if you're the Iowa Hawkeyes. That's why it's so important, Mark and Scott, that they have to get off to a good start. Iowa cannot get behind like we've seen doing a couple games and try to battle back in. I don't think you can do that at Michigan State. You're going to run out of gas trying to make up if you have an early deficit in this game. So you got to get out of the gate fast and stay steady, get rid of those scoring lulls, and get your defense set every trip.
Yeah. Text line question for you here, Kevin, from 8186. Do you think it's going to be like the Michigan game for Iowa? Just keep running and running.
Well, Michigan State likes to run, so it's going to be a bit of a track meet. I think the faster the pace, the better it is for Iowa, because what they can do offensively, and if they can get their spacing and spread you out, then Murray can go to work, or Brasha can go inside without the double teams, and you get some penetration. Tony Perkins, I think, is going to be huge in this game. He's got to come and play and get some baskets in the paint for the Hawkeyes, and that's going to help collapse the defense.
Kevin, I know you talking to you before the show, you have some mid-season, so to speak, coaches of the year. In the Big 12, Is it Tang or TJ?
I tell you what, I think you got to flip a coin in that one because Kansas State picked last in the Big 12. It's a team now that's in, you know, tied for first, even though Iowa State has a tiebreaker. I was really impressed what I saw about that Kansas State team. And then, you know, the idea that now it's no longer Manhattan, Kansas. It's Manhappy, Kansas. Because he wants him to be happy with his team and not be so negative with the opposing team. I think he's done a tremendous job, but I've been so impressed by that Iowa State team and what TJ has done, the ability to blend all those mid-major transfers in. Caleb Grill is, I mean, the guy's playing with a bad back. He's got a freshman point guard again in Lipsy. They've been really impressive. I think you flip a coin, those two guys. I got co-head coaches right there, so I'm going to avoid your question.
There you go. Before we get to the MVC, let's talk Iowa State. A good win. Yeah, come from behind. They were only down two at the break, but came out of the locker room, got the lead. Got a little bit of a push from K-State at the end to get it close, but Iowa State did what they had to do to get that game, and a game they needed, and the crowd was great at Hilton Coliseum for that one last Tuesday, but man alive, Iowa State just continues. Now, Lipsy, you mentioned him, 10 points, you know, he's playing over 30 minutes a game, thrown into that situation with an injury before the season got going to another point guard. And I think you can make a pretty good case for Lipsy has been, you know, the silent MVP of this team.
You know, I would say he is the silent assassin because when you watch him play, we talk about what Holmes is doing for him, Real Kalsher, and they have a star in the making in Oshinyi. That guy gets better every game you see him play. But look at the stat line that Lipsy puts up against K-State and that Marquise Noel. You paid big money to watch that kid play. But Lipsy's got 10 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. Now, he's rebounding from that guard position. That's what the reason why this Iowa State team is so good, because their guards do get in there and get on the glass. But Holmes was sensational in that second half. Jaron Holmes, he had to take over the point guard position because Lipsy had some foul issues. But I tell you what, guys, I did that game against Texas. You talk about Cameron Indoor. You talk about Allen Fieldhouse. The night I was there, that place, the roof was going to blow off out of Hilton Coliseum. They've got a tremendous home court advantage in there now.
In the Missouri Valley, very, very interesting. 6 teams within 2 games of one another. Indiana State has fallen off, but here comes Belmont right there, tied for the lead. And you and I, 1 game back. You have a coach of the year in this league.
Mark, I think you got to look at Ben Jacobson. He's got no seniors. He's got 1 junior in Betts. He's doing this with 3 freshmen in the starting lineup and no Austin Fife. I mean, they're sitting in 3rd place all alone. Their schedule's going to get a little tougher here in February for them. But I think them and Belmont with Casey Alexander, because I had the game at Southern Illinois where Belmont had like 40 points in the first half and 17 in the second half. They made a tremendous change and they had to get more physical. And he made a great statement. He said, in the Valley, here's the difference between the Valley and the Ohio Valley. We have Power 5 officials come to officiate in the Missouri Valley. Those dudes let you play. So we have to get more physical, especially at the defensive end, because they're going to let you shove people around. I thought it was a great observation by the Belmont coach, Casey Alexander, because it is. I mean, people say, hey, the Valley's kind of a mini Big Ten. They let you play physical in that league. But what a race. This is the latest comment I'm hearing. This is the best one-bid league in the country, Missouri Valley. Look at those teams. They've got 8 teams that could possibly win Arch Madness. But it's going to be a one-bid league, guys, and there's some really good basketball going on in the Valley.
No chance, not even if Southern Illinois has got 17 wins right now. Not a great net, but, I mean, if they get 6 or 7 more, get up to 23, get to the championship game, get to 25 and 6 or something like that, 25 and 7, no chance, right?
No, remember a couple years ago, 2017, with Illinois State went 17-1, only lost to Wichita State, didn't get in.
Yeah,
I think you got the same scenario because the Valley didn't do enough work in November and December in their non-conference games, and they would win those games now because these leagues and this team has really improved. The teams have really improved in this league, but. It is what it is, guys. So we'll see if maybe next year, with the addition of Belmont and Murray, that this is going to help this to get more than one bid from the Valley.
Bradley's still the top net in the league, even though they're two games behind Belmont and Southern Illinois right now.
Well, Illinois State took them overtime at home. Bradley, I thought, was the best team a month ago, but then Drake smacked them. Belmont got him at home and won 17 in a row at home, and then Illinois State took him to the wire. So it's a Bradley team that's struggling a bit right now. Right now, I think it's Belmont's the best team. Southern Illinois is – those two are by – they're starting to separate themselves a little bit. I've got Drake at Belmont on Sunday, so I got another little trip in the Nashville, boys, where I'm going to see hit Tootsie's and Ed Lee's barbecue. Among a few other hot spots. But it's going to be a short trip because I got Murray State and Missouri State on Saturday. So I make that trip and then drive to Murray, Kentucky, which is not easy to get to from anywhere.
Well, you talk about UNI. It's going to enter a very difficult stretch. Next two games on the road at Indiana State and a really big one against Drake. In fact, the Panthers play Indiana State and Drake twice within a two-week stretch. So, man, this thing is going to be coming down to the wire, I think.
I tell you what they've done, Mark. They've won every game they should win except for the Missouri State game at home. And that's, when you do that, it puts yourself in a good position. They haven't really given any away. They did in non-conference. McNeese State, we had a couple others, Toledo, that were in their games that they just didn't play well in. But once they've gotten league play, they've really taken care of business. Like last night, you got a Valpo team, they got up 18.5, got challenged a little bit in the second half, able to pull that one out. The team that I'm concerned about is Drake because Drake has zero bench. I mean, zero. Calhoun's been out. They're getting like 5 points off the bench. And that's going to be a problem for Drake when they go on the road. It has been a problem for the Bulldogs. They have got four losses by a total of 12 points in this league. So, big game Sunday for Drake going into Belmont.
How good is the Big 12? I mean, you sent us a great stat. The average net for the entire conference of the Big 12 is 27. And the next closest league is more than double that, and that's the Big 10 for 10 teams. Their average net for those 10 is 55. Big 12 is just, I mean, you could just sit every night and watch Big 12 games and be entertained from now until March.
No question. Great athletes, basketball players, and it is, there's just no easy games. So I don't know how many losses you're going to have to win that league outright. Kansas loses three in a row. Iowa State's winning those close games, which you're going to have to – in that league, you're going to have to be able to win games in the last 2 minutes of each game. Because it is a brutal league, and they're talking eight teams out of the Big 10 – out of the Big 12 going into the NCAA tournament. Think about this, guys. Next year they add Houston, Cincinnati, BYU, and Central Florida. So you're going to have – my math's right. We're going to have 14 teams for 1 year before Texas and Oklahoma exit out of that league. But here's what's kind of strange now. They're still doing that SEC challenge, so they all step outside the league this Saturday and play an SEC school. Iowa State going to Missouri. That's a tough one, man, because you've been in a middle battle against the Big 12, and now you're going to go play another team that's not in your league. I think this is a little bit of a trap game for Iowa State going into Missouri.
Well, they got two trap games. Yeah, and then go to turn around less than 48 hours, go to Texas Tech, who is – hasn't won a game yet. They're 0-8, but they're going to beat somebody. They have some talent, and they're going to get somebody at home. You just hope it's not you. And best thing about Iowa State going to Como on Saturday is that it's not at the Hearn Center. There's no Norm Stewart to go against, and the Antlers won't be there.
Well, where'd those Antlers go? Did they get outlawed? Because those guys were the best.
Or the worst, depending on how you look at it.
There was, you know, and I've got a son, Grant, and he, for some reason, a Missouri fan. So I took him down the old Hearns for a Christmas present one of the last years they were in there. In fact, I think it was the Iowa game, and Steve Alford took him in there. And the Antlers were still going at it then. I can remember that. But that was a great arena, Hearns, because it was so steep. You're right on top of the court. Now they're playing in a place it's like an NBA arena. It's huge. And, you know, it's got the box seats and everything going down at Missouri. So, tough game for Iowa State because this is Missouri's team that's been rejuvenated and playing pretty well.
On the national landscape, I like to look at, you know, what Iowa State non-conference opponents do the rest of the season. And look at Clemson leading the ACC, has lost only a couple, three games since that November loss to Iowa. That's really, I mean, the Eastern Illinois game is still an awful loss for Iowa. But that Clemson win back in November is looming bigger and bigger for the Hawks.
Yeah, that's looking good. And then, you know, the loss to TCU, that's not going to hurt you either. So that's why you're seeing the net for the Hawks so high. Last time I checked, I think it was Monday, Lenardi had he had Iowa as, I think, a 7 seed. Maybe he dropped into an 8 seed after the Ohio State loss. But he's got, you know, and this was, look at this one, guys. You got top 25, Purdue, the only Big Ten team ranked. But if you look at the bracketology, they're expecting 10 teams from the Big Ten to be in the NCAA tournament. So even though we don't have an elite team other than Purdue, and people aren't great believers in Purdue. I heard you guys talking about, you know, you think Michigan might get a
piece. I think Michigan's going to get him tonight.
I tell you what, though. Here's the thing about Zach Edey. He's only 7'4". The dude's 300-plus pounds. It's not like he's a skinny cat. So I don't know if he's going to get pushed around by Hunter Dickinson or not. He's the most dominant big man in the country right now. And their guards for Purdue are playing pretty well.
But they're young.
Yeah. They are young, but, you know, Matt Painter gets underrated every year as a coach, and that guy, he gets it done. I hope they have some success in the NCAA tournament just for Matt Painter's sake.
I would agree. Hey, before we let you go, it's Coaches versus Cancer Week. Everybody's got the sneakers going on, and I know that's near and dear to your heart right now. And it's always a great initiative that the coaching fraternity puts together at the middle point of the season.
Well, most of these coaches have been wearing the sweatsuits, a la George Raveling. I brought that up to another radio station. And remember how much heat George Raveling got in the 80s when he had that sweatsuit on?
Yep.
Now everybody's wearing one. Now everybody, you know, but they're putting the suits back on this week. They're wearing sneakers, and it's for, you know, Coaches versus Cancer Awareness. An initiative this year, guys, is set the screen, meaning go get cancer screening, because you got to find, you know, if you've got cancer, get it early. That was a big positive in my case. And a lot of people got behind because of COVID as far as doing some of the testing and so forth. So that's the initiative. Go make sure you get screened, and you got to catch it. The earlier you can catch cancer, the better chance are your survival and being healed. I start my radiation on Monday after I've got my chemo all done. So now I get the next phase, which is 17 cycles of radiation. I don't want any of you guys to go through what I've been through. Well, so get screened, guys. Go out there and get screened.
Yeah.
And girls.
Good information right there, and best of luck to you out there. Two questions, though, from folks here. Real quick, number one, 3702 asking, why was Rebracha called for traveling versus Ohio State when he took fewer steps than a Euro step? I thought it was a bad call, but it didn't ultimately lead to Iowa coming back to win that game. And then the other question is from Troy down in Muscatine County. What rule change would you like to see in college basketball?
We don't have enough time to talk about that. The rule changes. Well, I tell you, every year they talk about clean up post play. They never clean up post play. It is a war in there. I don't know how you would change it, but it's something's got to be done. They clean up the traveling in the perimeter traveling in most cases. And I like the block charge, I think, is getting called much better now. But play in the post is still so physical. And I tell you what, Jerry Pollard, I had him, he had the Kansas State game. The next night I had him, Illinois State at Northern Iowa. And he walked in and he goes, in the Big 12, you got, when that ball goes up, you got six guys, maybe eight, crashing the glass. There's so much going on, and they expect us to see everything. He says, this game has become impossible to officiate, even with three officials.
That is a very good point. Very good point right there. Safe travels, Kevin, and we will talk Wednesday with you next week. You guys are switching, you and Mark, because Mark's on the road. So thank you for that, but we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Well, I don't want to mess with Mark Ironside. That part I do know.
You Mark or I?
He wants to go Thursday? He can go Thursday.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kevin. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Be safe.
You too. Kevin Lehman, the coach, our Off the Glass segment that comes your way. Usually Thursday is going to be Wednesday next week right here on the Gym Class on KGYM. All right, we need to get to the, before we get to a bowling night in America, wrap up for you. We need to get a listener and get them qualified to hopefully win and get into the grand prize drawing for the Big Game House Party from Circus Sports Iowa. You must be 21 years of age or older. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Our game, Mark, we are going to dive into the National Basketball Association. We have this game tonight at 6 o'clock for you. It'll be the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics from Boston. If you take the Celtics, you're given 8.5. You're getting 8.5 if you like the Knicks. Caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. Hopefully we'll get a winner, and hopefully we'll get somebody in with John into our big drawing for the grand prize and the Big Game House Party from Circus Sports Iowa. We'll let you know who our contestant is and their pick, and we'll talk bowling with you when we come back. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. All right, and we've got our contestant. Looks like Isaac is getting his information. By the way, 0905 says the three-second rule has become obsolete. It's ridiculous watching players just stand in the lane. I would agree.
That's a good point.
I would agree. The other thing, and it's not a basketball one, but it deals with basketball, and that is the, well, we'll get into that tomorrow, the National Football League and this whole play clock thing. It is a fiasco. Speaking of fiascos, Mark, it is time for a Bowling Night in America wrap-up. It's brought to you by May City Bowl and Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. I wish we had happier news.
What did I say in that commercial? Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott?
Oh, I don't even think it was even decent. It was just bad.
Was it a good time?
We had a good time.
Well, it was a 19-11 loss for the Rusty Nails last night after a really good start, winning 8 in the first game, but slipped again, still maintained fifth place. Last 2 weeks, the Rusty Nails are sterling, 19-41.
Woohoo! I'm kidding, of course.
Hope to turn it around next week. Good nights for a couple guys out there, Tanner Bennett with a high game, 288. And Mike Robinson, I think, holds the top average in the league. He had a 751 series to lead the way.
Nice job by those folks. Position night coming up next week. So we'll go against the sixth place team. And best of luck. to everybody as we go for cash next week. Gary in Center Junction is our contestant, and Gary is going with the Celtics. He's throwing the 8.5. So he's going to hope for a big Celtic victory coming up and try to be the second listener that's going to go into the drawing. We have one right now. Another chance to play with Todd on the Todd Brommelkamp Show from 4 until 6. That comes up next right here on KGYM. Pick 6 coming your way tomorrow. We will talk Iowa, Michigan State. We will look ahead to the NFC and AFC championship games. So a lot to get to on a Friday edition of the Gym Class coming up starting at 3. Right after Spencer on Sports tomorrow. Local programming right here on KGYM. Mark, have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I will talk to you then.
Listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Todd Brommelkamp Show is next.
KGYM, Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM.